You are listening to Spiral Network Radio, and I'm Tambourine Borelli. And tonight, we're going to hear from one woman's journey through the Amazon into the Chipobos culture. It's in the Amazon, the jungles of the Amazon, and her initiation was with ayahuasca. For those of you that are not familiar with this, it is known as the mother of healers, the most powerful and loving of all entheogens, a brew that for millennia has opened eyes, lifted hearts, and revealed the doorway into the deeper levels of reality. My guest this evening is Paola Migoya. She's a very dear friend of mine who is a mother of two beautiful children. She is a lover of the wisdom that the natives of the world hold in the inner cores of their culture. I have known her as a student, an initiate of ancient knowledge, a true seeker of self-realization, and ultimate enlightenment. Her journey is nothing less than inspirational for any of us that are serious about letting go of fear and surrendering to the greatness of our present and future. Paola, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Tam. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. And thank you for all out there that has the desire and the heart to listen and to resonate with this knowledge.
Absolutely. Well, you are absolutely worthy of that introduction. And I'm just excited to talk to you about this because actually, everyone listening, I have already had this conversation with Paola, and she has filled me in into her latest adventure in the Amazon, and I just was riveted. We were talking for a couple hours. We're going to condense it for this show for the sake of time within 1 hour, but it just is an amazing, beautiful experience that anyone really has been on a seeker-type path will resonate with what she has to share with us tonight. So please, Paola, first, if you can, just give us a little background of yourself and what your intentions have been in regard to self-realization.
Well, you know, as you know, this was started a long time ago, and I don't think that anyone that has been a seeker and has been in a lot of this introductory or courses like the School of Ancient Knowledge, or it's a point where you say, I started here, because I think that all along we are in every day of our life since we are born, our journey is to make known the unknown and to seek and go a little bit farther. But I must say that it started more and more about 10 years ago when I started more seriously to seek and to study into the ancient knowledge and to all sorts of discipline, Buddhist and meditation, and because obviously you start responding to that knowledge, to that calling of that knowledge, no? And, well, I was in the School of Ancient Knowledge there in Yelm, and you know, recently I work in a thing called the Red Path, which that it's the design how the Native American start their initiations. And this with the Inipis and with the medicine of peyote. And that was like my introduction to the sacred plants. And in one of those ceremonies, I was introduced to ayahuasca. And I've been working with ayahuasca for almost 2 years now. And remember talking to you, you talked to me about living library. And
now, can you elaborate for those that aren't familiar with the term the living library?
Yeah. Well, the living library is like a code in each and every plant in this planet that was that is there like a library so that we can access that information. And this has to do on how the planet was created, because this planet was created, a lot of beings donated DNA so that the species we see, plants and animal today, are the result of that donation that was meant to be in this earth, so that if anyone of this galaxy needed to access this information, it was available to people. Then, just to cut the story short, something happened that the aim of that creation of that library was distorted, but actually the information is there. And the way to access that information is to access the codes of those information inside each plant and each being in this earth. So ayahuasca, it's a sacred plant that it's a brew prepared basically with the ayahuasca and chacruna. And this brew, all along the Amazon, is used to heal and to access information, to access different levels of information and consciousness. And the way that the plant works on you is first to work with those areas that they are very hard to get to those areas of your life, which
are
you feel
talking about,
that you
are
blocked
about,
emotionally.
Let me just interject. Are you speaking about subconscious issues?
Subconscious issues that they are not, sometimes they're not very clear to you, but they are there because you don't, for example, one question would be, why I cannot achieve this, or why if I focus enough, I don't manifest it in my reality.
Yes.
And my answer to that would be because obviously you have a big blockage in your subconscious that is not allowing you to experience that creation. Because actually the creation exists in some level of reality.
Yes.
But not in the reality you wanted, which is the physical reality. Okay, so ayahuasca that's why it's the healer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and makes sense because the root of healing comes from the word whole, to make whole. So if we are experiencing a block within whatever that it is, whether it's our ability to receive love, our ability to receive abundance, in any form, there is a hole within us. And if there's a hole in anything, H-O-L-E, then we are not W-H-O-L-E. You know, we are not whole. So to heal that, to make that whole, would be to become in balance, I would imagine, with what that issue is.
Exactly. And what the ayahuasca does for you is that you enter into this frequency that, first of all, is going to allow you to heal yourself in different levels of consciousness. And it's going to really show you what you need to work on. And I think that the second level of work that the ayahuasca does for you is to, once you can access, because you sort of clean your consciousness so that you can understand that information, then it's going to give you the access to the living library. That's where the ayahuasca goes.
For those of you that, let me just elaborate a little bit more in regard to the Living Library. The information that I shared with Paola about a year or so ago, it was from the book, The Living Library. It's actually Earth, The Living Library, from Barbara Marciniak, and it's a Pleiadian channeling. And anyone that's interested in further exploring what that is, you can get that book on Amazon. But Paola, I am so interested in really hearing your experience. For those that have this judgment on ayahuasca, that they're afraid of it, they're afraid they couple it with any other hallucinogenic like LSD, they equate it with drugs, and they've been made very fearful of it. Can you speak on that?
Yeah, sure. Well, nothing farther from the truth. Ayahuasca is sacred. It's very, very sacred, and it's a plant. Actually, it comes from nature itself. It's very complex in the term that to brew ayahuasca, it takes the Shipibos, that they are the guardians of these traditions in the Amazon, even when they are going to cut this lian and this plant and the chacruna, they have to do a ritual, a ceremony with a lot of respect. And this takes about almost 2 days to prepare it. And the brew actually is nothing, is farther from to being a drug, because what it really is, for everyone is different, the experience, you know, more or less. I think the common of the experience would be the healing, but it's going to present to anyone in a different way.
Now, are we speaking about healing on the physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual levels? Is it multidimensional?
It's totally multidimensional. And if you can go into the internet, and there's very, very, a lot of information about ayahuasca. And it's recently, you know, a lot of doctors, you know, Harvard doctors, Stanford doctors, there's actually a center in Peru, in the Amazon, near Iquitos, that it's curing people of a lot of diseases, because they have studied that ayahuasca does wonderful things on addictions, by the way. With one or two takes of ayahuasca, people that they're addicted to very hard and lucid, like LSD and crack and all these drugs, cocaine and etc., they are completely cured in a very short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
This is a center, international center, that is run by a doctor, MD, medical doctors, and they have also now doing research on ayahuasca in healing cancer and
wow,
other diseases. And this is, I mean, if you believe that disease is when the body is unbalanced and is when it has lost the frequency, I mean, it's like an instrument, it's not tuned, you know, then you get sick.
Yes.
If you see the ayahuasca, what it does, it starts to tune in the frequency of healing. It's like, you know, when you drink it, what it does for you is automatically you start in another frequency. You start vibrating in another frequency. And what does your body start? That they start, the process of healing starts.
Beautiful. Can you share with us now the beginning of your journey there? What inspired you to go, and what happened with you there? What what was your experience?
Well, first of all, it was very funny as we spoke, because you talked to me about the Living Library, and then it's sort of a calling of going into the Amazon, which really is a living library, by the way. And then I, yeah, totally. And I will explain further, but just that our audience picture how weird it was, because we talked one day of the living library, and a few months, you know, I was doing a ceremony of ayahuasca with a very renowned healer and curandero of the Amazon called Ichiro, and that also works with Qigong, and you know, I was not supposed to be there consciously in that ceremony, but I was. You know, at the end I went, and then I received sort of a lot of blessings and a lot of information and a lot of things that I wanted to experience and to work in my spiritual work and in my life, just sort of open for me a lot of doors and a lot of possibilities. And it's a very different thing that to know like the philosophy of it than to live the experience. And at that point, I start living the experience of change, of transmutation in levels I never imagined before.
Now, this is after the first experience you had in Mexico, yeah?
No. This is the first experience in Mexico, okay. Actually. That then 1 month later, I receive an email of Ichiro telling me that if there were only 16 people allowed to go into the Amazon, and they call it vegetalist diet. And the vegetalist diet consists of going into the heart of the Amazon in a retreat by yourself most of the time. And you fast. You just eat a little bit of rice during the day, two times a day, and do several ceremonies of ayahuasca and other plants called Bobinsana. So what this allows you is to work in a more structured and more serious way with ayahuasca, especially because you are going into the home of the ayahuasca. So I think this also allows you to start building a very deep relationship with all living things, and with the plants and with the animals and with the water, all the elements. And this opens you to the codes and to the information encoded in the living library. So the first time I was there, and as the experience unfolded, was going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into this consciousness and starting to experience what everybody talks about unconditional love, but to really experience it is a whole different game.
Now tell me, how did you experience unconditional love with plants? Because most people, that's an alien concept, but you know, it's because we've been so far removed and separated from the nature of life that truly in our own nature we are innately connected to. But wouldn't you say that what you're about to share with us is actually what our birthright is, that what we are made of and what nature is made of is one and the same.
Totally. And the thing is, because you've said it beautifully, the problem of our time is that we've been totally, totally divided, separated from our true nature. And what I felt and what I experienced is I return home. I return to where I, the source of things. And when you start experience that the plant or the bee or the snake or the jaguar or for even if it's the most threatening animal that can really threaten your life or whatever, if you start tuning in the frequency of that, that threat disappears. You can touch a snake or anaconda, and the snake's not going to do anything to you.
Say the experience. Tell them the experience that you had with the jaguar.
Yeah, you know, I was. This was about the fourth time that we have done the ceremony. So about this time, I have taken four times ayahuasca in a very short period of time. And also Bobinsana, because the Bobinsana is another plant that makes you vibrate in the frequency of nature. So you can even talk to plants very easily, and you can communicate with all living things in that frequency. So I was walking in what is like a big ditch of water, and you have to imagine this is a big jungle, you know, so the trees are tremendous, are very high, and it's very, very thick, all the foliage of the Amazon. So suddenly I see this beautiful animal, majestic animal, you know, and obviously it was a jaguar. And for a time, it was funny because I didn't felt threatened my life. I didn't, the jaguar just like, I knew he was looking at me, my eyes, we looked. I couldn't move. I had my camera in the other hand, but I couldn't, it was funny because it was seconds, but I couldn't move to take the picture. And then he looks at me, I look at him and say, what a beautiful animal, and then he runs away. So this is the kind of things that happen to me every day, you know. I saw owls of colors unimaginable, birds, butterflies that stood upon your hand. And that's only possible because you start to vibrate. And another thing happened to me. The first day I was going into the river, there was this little fish that, let me clear out, there were not piranhas. Piranhas, yes, they exist in the Amazon, but they exist in upper river, not where we were, that bites you. So it makes a little bit uncomfortable to swim because suddenly you are swimming and then little fish comes and bites you. Even if they don't hurt or they don't, but it's a funny feeling.
Yeah.
By the third day, yeah, it was funny.
Funny
by
is not
the third day.
The word that I probably would use, but although I'm laughing
a little bit. Yeah. Well.
So, go on.
But it was funny because by the third day, you know, didn't bite me anymore.
Interesting.
So,
what do you equate
that to?
What
happened? I changed my frequency.
Yeah.
I've been able to change my frequency, and I was one of them. So why they were going? I was not a threat anymore.
That's beautiful.
I was not a strange on the water. So returning to the point, you said that. What was my experience? I think that the experience of unconditional love is really to acknowledge that and to see the threads of that we are really all connected. And you know, everyone that is listening, and I'm sure everyone has heard that we are all the same and we are all equal. But to see and to experience that thread of life that connects us with anyone and everyone, and to experience it, that's a different ball game.
It's totally a different reality. Because otherwise,
exactly. And
you know,
also,
no, go ahead.
No, and also because then you start seeing that also that what everyone has told us that this is the Maya and this is an illusion, you also start to seeing also other realities and being able to experience other realities consciously.
Let's talk about that.
Okay, so for anyone that has never done a ceremony with ayahuasca, when you take the ayahuasca, you have to let the first thing you feel is like the ayahuasca doing a whole scan in your body.
Wow.
And this usually takes about 1 hour or 2 hours. When you feel your body really funny. And funny or strange, the word would be between funny and strange because it's a feeling, it's hard to describe because, it's not uncomfortable. It's not like a pleasure, like you're receiving a massage or something pleasurable either, but you sort of acknowledge that something good is happening to you. So in that scanning, the ayahuasca, in Spanish called the madrecita, that is called the mother, starts like telling physically, in the first is physically, what you need to take care of, or what needs to be healed. The second stage would be emotionally, and emotionally and mentally, I would put it in the same level, because it works like parallel.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly, there's a moment that if the medicine feels needs to take something out, it's a moment when you purge a little bit, you know, or you take out what the medicine has found wrong in you. And really you feel alleviated. You feel very good after that.
Just to be clear, you're talking about vomiting.
Exactly. You vomit a little bit, but also what I felt, it was not just a vomit because almost you are fasting, so you don't have anything in your stomach or anything. It's just like an energetic vomiting when you are taking everything out, all the toxins, all the bugs, all the pollution that we are living, all the radiation we are submitting to, all the junk thing. I mean, it's incredible because it's like you have the vision, you are cleaning up for good.
It makes so much sense. Continue.
So then after that, you start having a lot of visions. You know, then's when the visions start coming in. And the visions also, and this is for me has, and we talked about this, a very tricky part. Because actually when, if people here doesn't have like the training to go, the mental training, and I will also set like this spiritual strength to go through, the experience there could be very nice because then it's when you start seeing lovely things and you have to enjoy yourself and enjoy in the sense of very loving because the medicine, the ayahuasca is a very loving experience. In the tradition, they call them the grandmother. Why? Because it's like the love of your grandmother that embrace you into her arms and starts sort of cleaning, well, healing you and teaching you. So then if you have this, you know, this like if some of you have done a labyrinth or a field, or you know what I'm talking about, that you start focusing on your intention, what you need to work. And the intention can also be, as was in my case, just to surrender to the work and to teach me whatever I needed to teach me so I could go forward in my journey. And I could really profit from that experience and to really process and give that wisdom, and that wisdom I could share it, not just for me, was this wisdom I could share with anyone, so that I could shed this light to anyone. That was my intention of the work. So by that stage, you need the strength to go through that journey. And now, if you are...
Yes, I just was going to say that obviously we all are at different stages of our development, and you know, there's absolutely some that ayahuasca, they're not ready for, perhaps. But for those that are open to experiencing a multidimensional experience and not being afraid from it, there is, I would imagine, quite profundity waiting on the other end of that experience, wouldn't you say?
Of course. I think that the ayahuasca is like a grandmother, as I was telling you. So people with a lot of experience, obviously, or with a journey behind them, or that they have done different things with maybe peyote or other medicines or other natural medicines, well, of course, you know. But also I've seen it, because I've seen people that they have come to a ceremony for the first time and received the kick of their lives, in the sense that they have experienced for the first time this overwhelming experience of their truth self. And when you really see who you really are, this loving, multidimensional, unconditionally loved being that is interconnected with all life, and you know what? That everything is okay. There is no guilt, there is no suffering, there is no pain. I think anyone that takes ayahuasca is going to have this experience, no matter what.
And to trust what you see and experience, you have to challenge the boundary in which your thinking is confined to, because when an insect begins to speak to you, or when there is a being there speaking to you that is clearly from another place other than Earth, it might begin to challenge this reality that is such a condensed box that we live in here, you know, but it's quickly disappearing as we shift into this new world. And the experiences you shared with me, and go ahead, I'd like you to share with them your multidimensional aspect of your experience. Who did you encounter? What was said to you? What beings did you converse with?
Well, and before that, just I want to say to you that, yes, you're going to be challenged, because a lot of your fears are your own challenge. And you're going to be challenged, but in a very loving way. And, you know, this is going to just last for a few seconds or a few moments of doubt. And also, if you don't want to work with those difficult things, also ayahuasca is very respectful. You are not going to go there, because it's the experience of ayahuasca, you're only going to go whenever, if you want to really go. In a sense that if you don't, but it gives you a little help to get rid of those fears and to get over them if you want to really go them. Do I make myself clear on this?
Absolutely.
Or no?
For example, let me give you an example so you can see what I hear you saying. I hear you saying, for instance, if my fear was of snakes, that I would, and if I was ready to come face to face with that fear, that ayahuasca would bring to me an experience with a snake that allowed me to interact with a snake that was a loving experience, contrary to what my fear is based in.
Exactly. And is exactly as you have told that, because before I was going to the Amazon, my only fear was that I was going into the maybe the most beautiful place in the world, but also where the most dangerous insects, spiders, snakes are. So one part of me was saying, God, I mean, I am in, and when I was there, I thought at the beginning, it passed through my mind that, you know, there's like this ant that if they bite you, you can be dead in maybe half an hour, no? And things like that. But, and they're just there. You see them. But then as soon, yeah, I have pictures of them.
Oh, God.
Very close to me. And there's a snake called Hergon that is deadly. The bite of that snake is one of the deadliest. And you have to see that the closest hospital or civilized village is almost 4 to 5 hours. So obviously, if that happens to you, you are
you're on your way to the next adventure.
Exactly. Let me think. No, the Shipibos, they have not, as we could say, antidotes, but they have medicine for that, natural medicine, which is a great thing. You know, I encounter people that works on the camp that there, that showed me where the he was bitten by this Hergon, and he was very, very seriously sick for almost 2 months, but he finally made it, and well, he's alive to talk about the experience. But anyway, is as you said, I had the fear for that was the, and the ayahuasca, once I said, yes, I'm going to do this and like a warrior and let's have it, I encounter a lot of these things that allowed me to conquer my fears and show me that these are only that, fears, nothing else.
Talk about your analogy with your experience with the snake moving through you and how you, what you, what that symbolized to you.
Well, for me is the Kundalini, is the experience of the creation of life. The analogy is when the snake was like in front of me and there is the analogy of the caduceus, what means the healing, that very deep healings in a very various ways. And you know what? I still feel that the ayahuasca still works on me in levels, in very deep levels that I do not even know what deep I went through. You know, because every day I received blessings and teachings and experiences that make my life more joyful, more peaceful. And for me, that was the analogy was that the snake was there with the medicine of creation, of like the Kedusha.
And what about what you said in regard to, you know, all the hype of dangerous times and the talk of dangerous times coming? How did you see it in regard to moving through you?
Well, that obviously if you are in that frequency, if you are in the frequency of fear, the snake will get you. But if you let go and you are in the frequency of trusting and in the sense that you are confident on that, you in those times you will get through. That's what you mean?
Yes, like when I remember when we were speaking and we were talking about someone was having a conversation in regard to different timelines that are potentials for the next couple years. And, you know, your analogy, when the snake just kind of moved through you, that you saw it as when you're a vibrating one with nature, that nature preserves you, and any kind of timeline that is of a dangerous one will be like it's on a whole different radio station. Like, for instance, if you're tuned into 105.9, you're not going to hear the music playing on 102.3. It'll move, you know, sure. You move right through it without, you know, experiencing it.
Sure. And as I said, you know, at the third day I was in tuned, because that's the word tuned in to nature. Well, the fish stopped bothering me when I went into the river to swim. And also has to do a lot of how even, you know, it's very funny because your body starts to feel different after a few days and your smell starts to completely vanish. As your body starts to cleanse in different levels, mm-hmm. you smell different.
That would explain the masters not having to shower.
Yeah, of course, you know, that's why
they're white. Their white clothes not getting dirty.
No, and obviously, you know, when they say that people see Buddha or experience Buddha or Jeshua ben Joseph or somebody, that they smell very nice, that's why. Because their vibration is so high that then obviously the smell and the physical experience is very quite different.
Now, speaking of masters, let's hear of your encounter with the Pleiadian.
Yeah. Well, this was the second ceremony that they I received first the visit of a mantis, a praying mantis, a huge praying mantis.
When you say huge, just how huge was it?
Well, like a human being, that huge, my size.
Okay.
Well, just I'm not very tall, but let's say that taller.
Look,
taller than me, not the normal size.
Listen, if it was midget size, it would be huge.
Yeah, but this is what, like a little, no, because, you know, for our people out there listening, just to imagine that I was sitting down on the floor and I could see this like a person, like the same size as a person, very, very, well, I could see the praying mantis, but the funny thing is I didn't feel any fear. Overwhelming, yes. I was like saying, what? This is, I mean, yes, I was like sort of impressed, But in my heart, I didn't feel any fear that I have to clear out.
Yes.
And the praying mantis, they first said to me, could we operate on you?
Mm-hmm.
And I say, yeah, sure. You know, because sure. You're there and you go, you know, sure. Like anything you have to do, just please go ahead. Take me everything you have to take me out. And it was awesome because the minute I just said yes, I was transported into this room that looked like a spaceship.
Wow.
Very white, very clean, materials that I have never encountered, because I'd never seen something like that, even the lights and with some rays and stuff, I could see my body working on my body. You know, I was conscious, but I also, the physical experience was overwhelming because I could see whatever, not in pain because I didn't felt any pain, but I could feel that they were working on my body. So the physical experience was there. And they introduced me some bugs, and that was a little bit not fearful, but I was said, what is going on? Like, you know, it got more of my attention.
What did you say? They introduced you, they introduced a box to you?
No, like a bug, you know, little other animals, they start putting other bugs.
Okay.
A bug, yeah. Sorry for my accent, but yeah, my bug, you know. And they were aware that I suddenly became more aware of them, you know, like, and then in that moment, I could say that, yes, I felt a little bit anxious and a little bit fear. And the praying mantis just turns to me and said to me, there is nothing to worry. We have to take from your body all the pollution, all the viruses that the establishment or the gray men send through all the energy grid so that they can control you. And they show me then the praying mantis with I could not say their hands because they don't have hands, they have sort of weird
claws.
Things claws, exactly, start showing me what they were taking out from my body.
It kind of sounds then, like in the Matrix when they took that bug out of Neo's stomach, out of his belly button.
Yeah, but this was no blood, and this was more in an energetic level, more subtle, but it felt very physical. And it was more like science fiction, if you tell me, you know, like,
well, remember
more
when,
like,
remember when Trinity took it out? He was in the back of that car and they took it out and he was like, oh my God, that thing's real. I thought it was just a dream. Remember?
Well, yeah, it's, well, not very well, but yes, it felt like that. But you know, this was not just one bug. This was hundreds of them. Maybe little box, little things, and this start. My body start I start feeling lighter, you know, and they say yes because you have a lot of energetic disturbance on you, on your bodies, especially the ones just. You know what, that I live in Mexico City, but for those of you that they do, you don't know me, I live in Mexico City, which is a very crowded and a lot of people. But more or less, this is in any city, it's like that. So this kind of stress that people feel and everything, I could say that 90% of what the people are feeling are this pollution of the viruses, energetic viruses, that the establishment or gray men uses so that we are more controllable, would be the word.
Right. I totally get it. So at that point, after that experience, is that when you encountered the Pleiadian?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think that was meant to be, you know, in order that, because I felt that if I was not clean, you know, I could not encounter the Pleiadians next day. I know what happened. So, well, after the surgery, I must say that, okay, so the Pleiadian said to me, actually, well, then the next day I encountered the Pleiadians, and the Pleiadians start talking me through what was the living library. And actually, what they showed me these codes and this mathematic formulas of sacred geometry encoded in every plant, in every animal, I got really very, very anguished, my anguish, because I said, I don't understand what you want to tell me. I cannot read not even half of it. I don't understand what you want to tell me. And they say, no, because no matter if you in the conscious way, you do not understand. Because in a level of you, in cellular level, these opens of the encoded in the information in the plants, your molecular structure in your cells and in your DNA, you are starting to encode this information. Because how it works is you have codes that speak that language. And when you're open enough and you are vibrating into that, and you are okay, and you are encoding into that information, then that information starts flowing through you.
Well, I just want to say, you know, because we're out of time now, but I think it's so fascinating, and I'm so inspired to experience this myself. I have never experienced it, and I have arranged now. I'm going to Mexico with Paola in January to be initiated in ayahuasca, and I will absolutely report on my show. Maybe I'll do a live show there. That ought to be interesting on ayahuasca. But Paola, thank you so much for sharing that experience with us. We're going to have you back on the show very soon to just talk about subjects like this, and, you know, because it's all of us that are on this journey, and it helps to share with each other, you know, our path and the experiences that we have. So again, thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
No, from my heart, thank you, and thank everyone that works on the station and everyone that listen. I want to thank you and thank everyone for this opportunity to speak to more people.
Beautiful, Paola. Thanks again, sweetie. And everyone else, we will be back week after next. I believe it's on the 9th, and we'll have some more interesting topics for you. Until then, have a beautiful night, and we'll see you then.
Wanna know, won't you take me there? I wanna go far down the rabbit hole, won't you take me there? Take me back to a place where I never die.